Hello and welcome to the second edition of Exploring Enterprise, the new podcast series from the Enterprise Research Centre. I'm Professor Stephen Roper, Director at the ERC, and today I'm delighted that I'm joined by Professor Mark Hart from Aston Business School, my Deputy Director, Colin Bell, Business and Sector Growth Director from Northeast LEP, and Richard Jeffrey, National Director of Growth Company Business. Now, gentlemen, today's theme is around local growth and levelling up. So, Mark, I think we'll start with you, if we may. The geography of small business growth has been a key theme of your research over the years with ERC and long before that. So can you tell us why this is an important theme and what the research tells us about the distribution of growth and productivity of smaller companies across the UK?
Yes, absolutely, Steve. I mean, it's over four decades of research going back to my PhD days, and they talk about academics getting stuck in a rut, but here I am 40 odd years later. I think the issue for me, and you know, I got into this as an economic geographer, looking at regional disparities across Europe, across the UK, and you know, when I see a phrase or a slogan like "levelling up," I sort of cringe because it's sort of it cheapens the underlying processes and complexity of what's going on actually. And I think what I've seen is that the inequalities, regional inequalities, whether it's in terms of society or whether it's in terms of the economy, are deeply entrenched. And in many ways, you know, what has changed since in the post-war period? What has changed since, you know, since the austerity period? And I think if we focus on 2010 onwards, since the last crisis, you know, we've had 10 years whereby we've had austerity, we've had historically low growth overall in the economy. So what's changed? So when I look at the enterprise agenda, whether it's entrepreneurial activity, attitudes, whether it's the growth of businesses, I just see huge disparities. And obviously the productivity puzzle, problem, whatever, that we've been talking about has thrown up another level of deeply entrenched distributions across very local areas, and in the areas that Richard and Colin, their home domains, if you like, the productivity distributions haven't changed much. They're persistent, they're widely dispersed, and they're persistent. So I sort of wonder, you know, how on earth are we going to address, from a policy perspective, the actual, you know, rhetoric of building back better, leveling up, etc., etc.? It has to be more than infrastructure. It has to be more than town funds. And we don't want to get into the politics of all of that. So for me, it's all about the interplay between business dynamism across the whole spectrum of business activity. It's about innovation, Steve, which is your domain. It's about access to finance. And all of that has deep-rooted local and regional inequalities, and we really have to get serious about how we're going to address this. So I'm really interested to hear how Colin and Richard on the ground have been seeking to harness the resources to actually begin to address some of these deep-seated problems.
Well, thanks. That's a great start to the discussion. And I guess that one of the key dimensions here is that these disparities between areas exist both in kind of startup and the growth and the performance of established businesses. Is there a particular geography to that, or is that just a sort of, you know, just very variable across the UK?
It's extremely variable, Steve, but I think there is some sort of sense whereby, if you look at the sort of the spectrum from startup, and one of the particular metrics I look at is startups that survive and grow. And across the UK, it's a very small number indeed. It's about 2% of those that survive after 3 years. And there's a bit of a geography to that. And you know, when I look at Colm and Richard, I'm saying, well, is there any difference in the North East and Greater Manchester? Not much, really. It's about 2% everywhere. But I think when we look at then the geography of those businesses who have growth episodes, I'm very careful not to use the OECD definition of a high growth firm, there's huge discrepancies here. It's not simple north-south, it's not simple, a geography. There's a city, metropolitan region agenda to this, there's a rural agenda to this. But I think what I can see, and certainly some work I did in the Northern Powerhouse, which Richard Colin may remember, is there's a big east-west disparity in within the northern powers. So sometimes we tend to talk about the northern powerhouse, but in fact, you know, we have to understand that there's a huge dispersion of activity. The Midlands Engine, where we're based, Steve, is the same between east and west. There's different aspects of all these puzzles. So the geography is not clear. It's complex. And I think, therefore, we need to be very careful understanding of all of this. I mean, I saw some wonderful stuff published by McKinsey this morning upon, terms of affluent areas and degrees of mental health, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, no surprise there, more affluent areas are more likely to be exhibiting signs of well-being in general terms. And that's wrapped up into this as well. So we can't just think about this as one simple metric like investing in infrastructure. So I see huge complexity across a range of metrics on the startup and growth front, Steve.
Thanks, Mark. Colin, let's turn to you then. What does kind of levelling up mean from the perspective of the Northeast? And if we levelled up the Northeast, what would it look like?
Well, I think that I'll answer that question, Stephen, very much from looking at it through a business growth lens. And I think that's one of the issues with levelling up, just to start with. I think that it means different things to different people. And you know, actually having a clear narrative on what levelling up means and what's achieved is probably one of the things that we need to arrive at. But I'm sure we'll come back to that. But looking at it from through a business growth lens, if we were to level up to the northern, you know, to actually level up against the north, so just kind of building on Mark's point around there being a kind of east-west split across the north, we would need to raise productivity per worker by £2,500. And that's a significant productivity gap there. We would need to increase business startup rates by around about 3,700 additional startups being started in the northeast every year. In terms of exporters, although the Northeast does pretty well in terms of balance of payments, you know, on export, in terms of import and exports, we need to create around about 4,000 additional exporters to actually level up to the northern average. We're about 6% of our business base exports, and I think it's around about 7.5% across the northern, 9% nationally, and we additionally we need more scale up. So we need in the economy to level up against the north, we need another 2,500 scale ups just within our business space. So but really, I think that if you look at this, one of the things that we need within the northeast, we need a bigger business base, we need more businesses. So I think that startup rates and one of the things that's got to be a priority focus for us. But one of the things, and just building on some of the things that Mark said that I think is interesting, is that just to use the term, that a lot of the issues that suppress business startup activity are deeply entrenched. So I think that, you know, to level up, there's no quick fixes around that. You know, a lot of the issues that are holding us back are probably quite cultural and structural in nature, and are going to take time to address. But I think one of the things that we need to do, and we're doing quite a bit of work with Northumbria University around this at the moment, is we need to understand that in more detail. I don't think that we really understand what the causes of the situation are. And it's only when we understand those causes that we can treat them. I think if we look at, you know, because there's obviously been a lot of attempts to address that issue over the, you know, probably the past 20, 30 years, a lot of money spent on that. But, you know, my feeling is that they've probably been focused on trying to treat the effect rather than, you know, really get to grips with the causes. And another thing is that within region, there's huge disparities. So what one of the things that, so Professor David Charles, who you may know, he's done some initial analysis of the enterprise ecosystem within the Northeast. And basically it shows hot spots and cold spots of where enterprise is occurring. So where we're seeing high rates of business startup and lower rates of business startup. And there's, you know, some of those patterns are what you would expect. So central Newcastle, we're seeing high rates, etc. But equally, there's areas like Consett and Bishop Auckland where you wouldn't associate as having a vibrant enterprise culture that are real hotspots. So what we want to do is really understand what's going on there, what's driving increased enterprise levels within those areas. And actually, from that learning, how can we apply that to other areas who share those characteristics, et cetera? So it is complex, you know, but one of the things I think we've really got to dig deep, understand the causes, treat the causes, which actually I think will demand a totally different approach to what we've taken in the past. So it's almost to one of the things, hopefully what Levelling Up can do is, give us that point of reflection, give us an opportunity to rethink the way we do things and do things differently. And hopefully, but in a more, to try and deliver more transformational impacts than we have done in the past. So point for reflection, I think.
Thanks, Colin. That's great. And I think the kind of cultural issues are ones that we'll come back to a little bit later on. Richard, let's turn to you, can we? What does the sort of levelling up agenda look like from the Northwest kind of perspective? And do you kind of recognise the sort of cultural and micro-geographic kind of discrepancies that Colin was talking about from the Northeast? Or is it a slightly different perspective from Manchester?
So what we've got is growth company. We exist to enable growth, create jobs, improve lives. So the very concept of levelling up and addressing some of those regional differences is really close to our own purpose on one level. Great as a concept. But I think we've got to understand a little bit more about how people are interpreting. And it's one of those terms that can kind of mean anything to anybody at one level. You know, we've mentioned between regions, within regions. Importantly, though, within society, just within one locality, we've seen huge variations emerge over the course of the past, particularly in the past year, and it's really shown up those variations very clearly. And I think we've got to really understand kind of what we're levelling up, but levelling up to what, with whom and where, it are kind of really big questions I think we've got to address. But I think to take your view on it and to take that kind of perspective on can we do this differently, it's absolutely not about just focusing on one aspect. There is no one thing that is causing these issues. It is multiple factors, and I agree with both Mark and Colin on that. And I think this probably gives us the opportunity to take a really broad, if you like, systems view, that's the in vogue way of describing it, and look at all aspects of it and think Greater Manchester's tried to do a number of things. If we take that as a specific geography, and it recently did the Independent Prosperity Review, and I think that was a really interesting, fully all-encompassing look at what was going on. An independent panel including the head of Bloomberg Economics, Stephanie Flanders, and what they said is actually there, and you know, to put a more positive perspective on this, that there are some real world-class strengths, and actually there's some areas where you've seen that geography really take leaps forward, both in terms of actually what it's done on advanced manufacturing. You have the digital and the tech community in Greater Manchester highlighted just before the pandemic as one of the big growth sectors and big growth locations in Europe, the creative industries and professional services. Yeah, there's some really big, good stories there. And I think how has that been achieved? And that's worthy of a whole podcast series in itself. But I think what has been done is it took more of a systematic approach to looking at what was needed for all aspects of this, from skills to infrastructure to accessibility and the full remit. And, you know, it's just been highlighted as one of the fintech hotspots of Europe. So there's some really big positives in there. But there are absolutely still issues. And within Greater Manchester, you can see all the big tower blocks. In fact, I'm looking out my window, I'm looking at some of them now. But within it, you've got really big social disparities. And actually, one of the poorest areas within Greater Manchester is parts of Manchester itself in the centre. So you've got there's some real social disparities. There's a real clear need to boost wages and improve that productivity. And what you have seen, as well as the growth of some of those real top-end, high-value jobs, you've seen a really big expansion over the past decade or so of retail, social care, hospitality, and that's created a very vibrant centre, but often based on quite low pay and low productivity. So I think you've got some big things to look at there. And interestingly, that panel looked at not just one aspect of it, but it looked at it in the round. It looked at business support and the need for more business support. It looked at the need to improve people's health. It looked at skills and education. It looked at the improving employment standards and with the development of the Greater Manchester Employment Charter and some of the others that have come forward. We've seen some really big steps forward. So I think what we can see perhaps in Greater Manchester is real some glimmers of and some evidence of hope where you can shift, but within it, you've still got a levelling up within that geography. So I think I'd echo and reflect a lot of what's been said. The other thing you've got to do is really understand what's going on the ground at a micro level as well to tackle some of those things. And we've surveyed over 7,000 companies during COVID, and that's given us a whole raft of intelligence about what's been going on a week by week basis. And that's enabled us to really respond to the demands that have been emerging during COVID. And some of those challenges have been really nuanced at that more immediate time. But helping companies navigate through that has hopefully put them in a better position to respond. So yes, I agree. It's with some of the previous comments that have been made that there are some big differences within geographies. But I think what we can see is some evidence of really big steps forward where you can start to shift the dial and start to get higher up some of those metrics in terms of how a place is seen.
I think that's great, Richard. I think it's too easy to sort of throw up hands and say, well, we've been trying to do this for years and we're never going to be able to shift the dial here. We certainly have to have that optimism about being able to do something, I think. And it's exciting to hear that there are some sectors in Manchester where, you know, where there is strong growth taking place. Colin, I wondered whether you might just reflect for a second on what sectors there are in the Northeast which are actually, you know, doing well and which might provide a bit of a basis for future growth.
That's one of the areas where we can look ahead in the Northeast or look to the future with great levels of optimism and positivity. We're really, really well positioned for some of the kind of big trends that are happening in the world today. You know, and a lot of those have actually been kind of brought forward with COVID. So we have a strength, obviously, in automotive supply chains. We've got Nissan, you know, operating from Sunderland. Some really positive news from there this week around a gigafactory being developed that will increase battery production in the area. We've got Britvolt, you know, who are developing a gigafactory to produce batteries in batteries in Blyth, Northumberland. So, and being in a position where, you know, we're producing the vast majority of electric vehicles from the Northeast puts us in a prime position to benefit from that transition to electric vehicles. And we've got real kind of strength and capability in that area as a region. So that's one, you know, kind of trend that we'll be working on and really plays into that key sector of advanced manufacturing. We've then got, you know, fantastic opportunities to the energy sector. We've got the world's largest offshore wind farm being developed off our coast in the form of Dogger Bank. So huge opportunities in terms of supply and innovation within that field. We're looking at, you know, how can we generate heat and energy from our mines, you know, our kind of dormant mines across the area. And you know, we've got real expertise and capability in that area. So, you know, everything that's happening in the energy sector, there's we're really well positioned for that. If we're looking at, you know, COVID and the need to onshore pharmaceutical supply chains, you know, again, one of the real strengths that we've got in the Northeast is that we got a really strong pharmaceutical manufacturing capability. So you know, I think in terms of that need to build resilience in our pharmaceutical supply chains. You know, within the UK, we've got a great opportunity there. And that's really underpinned by the strength of our digital, our innovative digital sector, who really kind of play a role in capitalising on all those opportunities. So So we've got real opportunities, and then when we've kind of reviewed, so looking at the evidence-based underpins our strategies as enabling sectors like professional and business services, what our head of policy and strategy, Richard Baker's coined KIBS, knowledge in intensive business services. Now, they're areas where we think we can get significant productivity gains within the region. The other thing is, and just building on some of the trends that I've talked about, and that's just a snapshot, obviously it's much more expansive. They're all areas where there's international, you know, there's a growing international demand. So, you know, these are areas where we think, you know, we can be globally competitive, and we can use that to really be more outward facing and really boost our export base within the region as well. So some great opportunities to really, really focus down and build on our regional strengths. So the future's looking really bright.
Richard, you had a thought?
Yeah, just coming in on that, I think it's really interesting, and I think Colin's absolutely right. Across the whole of the North and other parts of the UK where we work, you see some really great opportunities that I think make the whole concept of levelling up, whatever that means, but that whole concept of future growth really coming to the fore and some really solid opportunities. I think the really interesting story about taking a spotlight on Greater Manchester is there's an area that set out a vision, actually went on and achieved a great deal of that vision, and now you've got the big tower blocks with the, you know, top end developers, and you've got some amazing stories with AO and the Hook Group and Auto Trader and all the others. Yeah, they're there and creating great jobs. But it's then asking the question, and this comes right to the heart of levelling up, how do we make sure that the local population benefit from those? And it isn't just filled by people moving in, taking those jobs and displacing others and pushing house prices up. I think that's got to be part of it. So there's routes in for local populations, local school leavers, et cetera, to see a route into those jobs. That's got to be just as much as part of the economic development planning as it is just bringing those people here and helping those people access the global talent. Important though that is, we've got to have those routes if we want to make levelling up a reality for, and make it feel like a reality for the population of the North.
So I suppose one element of all of that as well is helping smaller companies to take advantage of the opportunities that those larger companies create in terms of the supply chain and value added. So Mark, how do we help small companies? We know many of them have been hit quite hard by the effects of the pandemic. So what kind of initiatives can we put in place to support companies, smaller companies particularly, as they kind of try and grow and recover from pandemic effects?
Well, I think, you know, there's still a cash crisis in the micro-enterprise small business sector, so we really got to be careful about, you know, making sure that there's sufficient support at local level. I mean, I think local authorities, LEPs, in Greater Manchester in the Northeast, I sit on the GBS Solihull Recovery Task Force, and we grab every penny we've got and we try and, you know, develop new schemes for startup, and particular for scheme I was involved, Pivot and Prosper. So it's about making sure we get cash into those businesses to help them take advantage of opportunities. So it's about information, Steve. It's about making sure that we're connecting small business leaders and owners to each other. So building networks, so the government peer network scheme, which has gone to all the LEPs and various cohorts have been coming through. It'll be interesting to see the extent to which that is helping. It's at the softer end, but I think it's really important for connectivity, because I think that, you know, the isolation of business owners during the pandemic has been a major feature, which we've all observed. And I think that, you know, so that's really, really key. Obviously, as you know, the Help to Grow management programme, it was launched by the Chancellor in the budget. It's now getting off the ground. I actually did my first session on that with the first cohort at Aston yesterday. 30,000 businesses in the next 3 years. The argument is that it will attack a group of businesses in the productivity distribution that need the most help. You know, fingers crossed. We do believe that our business schools are in a great position to help small businesses. It's a great untold secret across the country. you know, as Lord Young used to refer to them as the anchor institutions, we're not going out of business. That may be a moot point at the moment in terms of some universities, never mind business schools. But I think that is something which I think is important, that we connect something in the expertise in our universities, whether it's just on the science and technology and the innovation, that's been long established, but I think it's less well known that leadership and management skills can be done. So I think there's things that we can do, and I think it's about making sure that other big initiatives like working on supply chains and making sure supply chains are connected and opportunities in supply chains are equitable. I think that's a big issue as well that needs to be thought through. Just listening to Colin and Richard, one of the things that I think is also important in terms of it is about the sort of access and sort of the grassroots side of the whole levelling up agenda. I mean, for me, we're developing a project under the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, the UK team, on social infrastructure. We know how important that is for just people meeting and networking and ideas. And we know it's important for entrepreneurial activity. So it's not just a meeting place to keep people off the streets, young people or whatever. It's actually important sports facilities, pubs, community centres, libraries, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and if you look at what the British Library's done, rolling out its whole startup activity and information across the country through as many libraries as possible, I think that's really, really important. So social infrastructure is part of this as well. I'm not going to make a political point, but I'll just leave it hanging because I think you know what I would say in terms of the, shall we say, the lack of social infrastructure currently in 2021. So I think there's lots to do, Steve. And I want to go back to a point that Colin made. Look, it's easy to be critical of a slogan. And yes, it's easy to say, look, what's changed in 40, 50 years. But it's an agenda which I'm passionate about, as is Colin and Richard. It gives us an opportunity to get our projects, to get our thinking in particular, into central government, into whatever devolved administrations, whatever metro mayors or whoever, if Andy's listening, if Andy's in my street listening, obviously Newcastle didn't want to walk that way, Colin, but never mind. The point is it gives us an opportunity for that dialogue, that conversation, that research, the evidence to get into the core of this. So I'm delighted about it, despite my earlier cynical comments. But you know, we put our shoulder to the wheel. We need to make sure that we take this opportunity.
Thanks, Mark. No, I think it's it's an agenda that could be potentially very exciting, and we know that the UK is one of the countries in Europe with the biggest disparities between the rich and the poor. And that's not great socially or in terms of opportunities. Colin, we're running a little short of time, but I wanted to come to you just briefly and say, are there any sort of particular initiatives that are running at the moment in the Northeast that you're particularly excited about and might like to make listeners aware of? And then I'll come to Richard and perhaps ask the same question.
There's loads, but I'll link them to the previous points, but we'll be here all day. There's just one point based on what Mark was saying around kind of social disparities and the work he's doing with GEM. I think just going back to that point I made about really understanding the causes, I'm pretty sure that once we understand the causes that are suppressing enterprise activity, those same causes will be causing issues in health and inequality, and it'll be manifesting in a whole range of different ways. So I think, a real priority for me is really kind of, digging deep and doing that kind of depth of analysis to really get that understanding, because, treat that cause and it'll benefit in a whole range of different ways. Just linking back to supply chains and how we connect local businesses to that. One of the great programs in our region is called Supply Chain Northeast. And essentially what it does, putting this really simplicity, works with primes, understands what their supply requirements are, and then identifies companies within the local area who can fulfill those requirements. Gets people supply ready, open stores, to buyers and all those sort of things. So the outcome that we're looking for from that program is more businesses engaged in supply chains, you know, where there's obviously opportunity. And they're regional, but they're also national. So done a lot of work with HS2, Heathrow, all those sort of things. So that's a real kind of practical program that's had significant impact. The other thing it's doing, it's getting people ready for future supply opportunities, like that shift to EV, electric vehicle supply chains, and all those sort of things. So I think that's one thing I would like to highlight. And the two more that I'll mention really briefly. One that's had a significant impact is called Scale Up Northeast. And again, as a concept, it's dead simple. It's all factored around providing account management to companies with scale up potential, trying to convert that to scale up levels of performance, but really through providing account management through really good people in the form of scale up partners. They're all people who have a track record in scaling businesses, have all scaled a business beyond £3 million, and that's had a real impact and been incredibly useful through the pandemic in supporting organisations. And the final one I'll mention kind of feeds into the whole scale-up side of things, and it's called High Potential Startup. And that's really focused on trying to increase the level of high potential or high growth startups within the economy. And one of the things that we've been really surprised at through the pandemic is that the quality of applicants has absolutely gone through the roof. You know, people who have spotted new problems that require new solutions. And, you know, we've probably had our best cohort of the most promising business startups, you know, through the pandemic. We didn't have a clue how that was going to go. We almost thought this is going to kind of die a death, but it's kind of gone the other way. So I think, you know, the time of crisis, people get the spot opportunities, they get creative, and it can just sometimes, you know, ignite that entrepreneurial spirit, can't it? So I think that's been a really, really positive thing.
Yeah, I think we've seen a big change in the nature and of entrepreneurial activity during the pandemic. And, you know, as you say, if that's a very strong cohort of startups, that's probably a very positive thing looking forward. We're going to need all the startups, all the good ones we can get, I think, over the next year as we sort of hopefully leave the pandemic a little bit. Richard, let's come to you just, if we may, around initiatives, policy initiatives in the Manchester area, and anything, again, that, you know, you'd like to highlight as being, you know, of particular interest. I don't know whether there's anything around the Made Smarter area or the digital area or perhaps other kinds of initiatives that have been particularly successful with in your area.
Well, all those ones you just mentioned, absolutely, and many others. But I think there's a bigger point just to flag. One of the benefits that Greater Manchester's had is that it's prioritised business support, entrepreneurial support for many years. So this year, we're celebrating the 10th year of our Growth Hub. So I set that back up in 2011, Greater Manchester set it up, and we pulled together to do that then. And I think having that longevity of support and building up the evidence base, building up the knowledge bank, trying and testing lots of things and having the freedom to trial and test during that has placed us in a really strong position. And I think, you know, we've then had the joy of working with other labs across the country to help share and learn from where they're at. And I think some of the principles that we set out really remain very solid. Best of public and private, this is about bringing various parties together, a real focus on growth and ambition, not just scale up, very important bit of the market, but this is about getting growth and ambition throughout the whole part of the life cycle of those businesses. And I think really then creating some opportunities for peer learning, but really pulling that together and being at the center of that ecosystem and pulling everything together. And it's not just about growth, it's about good growth, inclusive growth. So I'm really excited about the work of the Good Employment Charter that's really kind of shifting us and tackling that question of, yes, you've created a load of jobs, but are they good jobs? Where are those jobs? Who's getting those jobs? And helping those businesses really then look at what they can incorporate within their work to upskill those jobs, be that skills training, be that just looking at having basic standards in place, be that looking at apprenticeships and the full gamut in there. I think some of the ones I'm really excited about at the moment in terms of where we're focusing on, and we haven't mentioned this too much today, but around some of the net zero work. So our Road to Net Zero program, we've been investing heavily in our support for getting companies to move along that resource efficiency journey, as well as developing the low carbon sector, as well as looking at those who are innovating in that space. I'm really excited about the work that we're doing around net zero. And I'm also really interested in some of the work that's emerging now on the innovation side of things. So you might have read about Innovate GM, and there's some really exciting work coming out there about how do we change the dial on innovation and get, again, all parts of the system working so people are creating that innovation culture within their business, so people are investing in R&D and are taking that forward. And then, you know, the other one that there's many others that are interesting as well. I mean, but a particular one that we've been working on for a couple of years now is our global scale up. So taking those businesses who've been all the way through that spectrum up to that stage of now scaling globally has been, and that acts as a real, if you like, beacon for many of the other businesses. So we've had people who've come to us from startup who are now come through the full system and now going on their global scale-up journey. And that's fantastic. I'll just mention one more thing before we kind of move on. I think that's looking at what we do for the self-employed as well, because that's a whole bit of the community that can sometimes get a bit forgotten. And we've got a pilot scheme called Enterprising You that's really looking at increasing income amongst the self-employed group. And that's obviously looking at a whole range of barriers to doing that for those individuals, be that skills that they need to develop, be that just some of the planning that they need to get in place, be that some of the organizational kind of systems they need to put in place at that level, which can be very hard to do when you're self-employed. I think that's a really interesting program. So we're really excited about what's coming. I think as we open up, we're going to see some incredible new activities. We've got Progress 21 coming up in September, where we're really celebrating everything that Greater Manchester and all the programs have to offer the community. And I'm very positive about where that comes.
Some really exciting stuff there, Richard and Colin. Thank you very much for that, both, you know, in terms of the sort of supply chain development, but also around the innovation and internationalization and, you know, the sort of vital net zero agenda, I think. And I'm sure we'll return to a few of those themes in future podcasts. Mark, I know that you're thinking at the moment about the local growth dashboard and the new data that's suggesting. Just before we finish, are there any particular findings that you want to give us a quick heads up on from that?
Oh, yes. You know me, Steve, this is a passion of mine. And I've been looking at it, obviously, since early doors this morning to make sure Colin and Richard leave the podcast with a happy smile. So in terms of one of the metrics I mentioned earlier about startups at scale, basically they survive and get to over a million turnover, Manchester is the best performing LEP outside London. So, that, you know, again, that's good news. Northeast is really galloping up on the outside rails. I'm not, you know, hopefully, you know, Manchester won't do a Devon lock on us, but Northeast could be well placed in case they do. I hate the measure of scale ups, Colin, as you know, but we calculated and there's great news there for the Northeast LEP in that respect as well, above the UK average. So look, you know, I can play around with numbers all morning. The key thing is that we need to underpin the projects that Colin and Richard are talking about with the evidence base. So Richard, you're talking about over the lifespan, we develop a series of metrics from the startup cradle to the grave. And it allows us not just to focus on one metric, whether it's scale-ups, it's part of the mix, obviously, but it's looking at how age is crucial here, you know, not just size, so looking at that over the mix. And I think there's some interesting positive stories coming out of the data in the dashboard, which actually, to be clear, takes us up to pre-pandemic, back end of 2019, early 20. But that's where we were. And I think that's going to be quite exciting. And the other point to make about the startups that Colin mentioned, the GEM data tells us in 2020 that huge amount of pent-up entrepreneurial activity. Yes, the headline activity rate has fallen, but what we see is a huge rise in people thinking they're going to be starting up in the next couple of years once the pandemic eases off. and a huge rise in opportunity identification, which supports your point, Colin. So I think, as I've always said, the key to recovery after every recession is startup small business activity. I think certainly the Northeast and Greater Manchester are well placed in those stakes, more so than perhaps some of the more southern LEPs that I'm looking at. So watch that space, folks.
So we've certainly highlighted quite a number of challenges this morning and some really positive steps that I think we've all begun to take in terms of trying to support companies as they kind of grow and recover. I think we all recognise that great data will be part of this, and actually understanding the local geography and of growth and prosperity and those kinds of factors which are reflecting that will be important. So I'll be watching out for the local growth dashboard in early autumn, whenever that's published, Mark. But we're past our time this morning, I'm afraid. So many thanks, Colin, Richard, Mark, for your contributions today. Thank you to you too, who are listening to this podcast. Plenty more on the ERC at www.enterpriseresearch.ac.uk. A very goodbye from all of us here, and we look forward to you joining us next time for another issue of Exploring Enterprise.